Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View, exploring where athletics meets faith. My name is Bob Gibson, and over the next hour, we're going to visit with Jim Hartigan. He's the head football coach down at J. Sarah High School in San Juan Capistrano. And then we'll talk with Steve Hiskey. He's the head girls golf coach at Rosary Catholic High School and one of his top golfers, one of the top golfers in all of Southern California, and that's Caroline Cantlay.
I'm joined by the football coach and the athletic director at J. Sarah High School, and this is Jim Hartigan. Coach, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Let's start off with going over your history a little bit. When did football kind of get into your system? You know, the first time you knew you wanted to be a football player.
Well, I actually grew up in Philadelphia, went to Catholic feeder schools, and then went to Archbishop Wood for Boys, which was in Bucks County, PA, which is a major football school. And I remember playing freshman football, and our varsity team winning the state championship. And then, you know, we basically had a day off of class, and the TV just repeatedly showed the game over and over and over again as we went to all the different classes. So kind of got into my blood then. I was also a ball boy at a very young age, kind of with the local public school, Ben Salem, which is, you know, produced some NFL kickers. And so I was in the locker room of high school football games, even as a young guy, and obviously went to and played football throughout my youth days in the Catholic League. And then obviously went to Archbishop Wood for boys. And then my parents decided to move to Orange County. And we were hoping to go to Monterey Bay, but with five kids and the move was just too expensive, we just couldn't do it. So that was a little tough, but university was a good place for me. You know, I played there, went on and played at Cal State Fullerton, went back and coached there, and then had the opportunity to work at Monterey Bay for 4 years. And then I got, you know, an opportunity to open up Santa Margarita. I was there for 16 years as the head football coach. And then went up to Clovis North in Fresno for 4 years. Kind of a, you know, big change. But at the time, a bunch of little guys running around our house. My wife was working full time. So we decided to just, you know, have her not work and me just coach football. And we had a great experience up there and won a lot of football games. And then had the opportunity to come back to J. Sarah when Andy Sulik asked me to come back and take over this program. So this is now my 10th season, so it's my 30th year as a head football coach.
You kind of lead me down my path that I wanted to go down with you. Let's take it one step at a time. Cal State Fullerton, how'd you end up at Fullerton? And some people don't even remember there was a football program there. It was a really good football program there for a long time. How did you end up at Fullerton?
The move from Pennsylvania to California was a big move in a lot of ways. I was a football player, wrestler, track athlete. Wasn't really sure what I was going to do post high school. The opportunity came for me to go to Cal State Fullerton and play at Cal State Fullerton. And, you know, Jim Coletta was the head coach then, and obviously a good program. And then Coach Murphy took over the last 2 years. So I ended up playing there. I was a defensive back. Loved it. Really a great group of coaches. Coach Mariucci was our quarterback coach. It was kind of a cradle of coaches that are on bigger and better things now. Coach Brown, who's now at Northwestern. So it was a really good experience for me. It was probably a good spot for me from a playing perspective and an athletic perspective. It was close. It was local. My parents could come see me and, you know, I could go home. And so I really enjoyed it. We had a lot of success. You know, we won some championships there. We had some really good football players. So I think it really helped me, give me a really good foundation of what it would take to be a football coach and an educator for my career.
Coach Gene Murphy, you know, one of those names, it's a legendary in football here in Orange County. When we did have college football here, can you just talk a little bit about what kind of coach he was and maybe any kind of influence he had on you as well?
Coach Murphy, great guy, a great Catholic guy. You know, he knew that I was a young guy coming into Cal State Fullerton at 17 years old, and, you know, my locker roommate was 25. And so he really took care of the young guys coming out of high school. And, you know, he came from North Dakota, and, you know, he really did a nice job of, you know, taking care of the high school kids that were coming from high school into Cal State Fullerton, because there were a lot of junior college kids and some kids that were transferring in. And Coach Coletto did a great job, but didn't have that sort of, you know, mentoring father figure type deal with us. And I really felt close to Coach Murphy. We played our first game at Cal State Fullerton. I remember building the stadium in the summer. But he was a real pioneer of just embracing California football, and really did a great job. And he went on to coach at Fullerton Junior College. Just a great man. Anyone that you ask if you would describe Coach Murphy, just a really kind, gentle, person and a really good football coach and a really good person.
Is it sad for you with the ties that you have to have seen football, you know, we used to have Long Beach State and Cal State Fullerton, to see these programs fold as they did? Gosh, it's been 15, 20 years ago now.
Yeah, you know, it was Cal State Fullerton, when we got there, they promised us a stadium, and you know, so we had a temporary stadium on campus just to kind of feel what that would feel like, and it was a lot of energy. And then we had plans to build a beautiful stadium, and they did. Of course, football was shut down by the time that stadium was built. You know, I do have experience winning and coaching some CF championships in that stadium, but we never got the chance to play in it. You know, we were always on the road, playing at Anaheim Stadium or, you know, Cerritos College or some local junior college deal. So it is kind of a bummer. You know, Coach Allen was at Long Beach State, and a lot of my friends played at Long Beach State and up and down the state with UOP and other programs that were playing football. It was kind of fun. It was a Pacific Coast Athletic Conference, and so it was really kind of a mini WAC or a mini Mountain West, really just focused on the coastal schools.
At that point, did you realize when you graduated college that you wanted to get into teaching or coaching? Was that the plan from day one?
You know, I had a PE degree, and you know, by the time I was done, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. There was a lot of options at the time. Corporate fitness was a big deal, and you know, doing some things in the training world as far as athletic training. But I was drawn back to coaching. I went back and volunteered at University High School, freshman football, my first experience while I was doing my student teaching, and I really felt connected to the kids. I felt connected to the sport. I saw a different perspective as a coach versus a player. You know, it stuck the minute I started coaching. And after my first year of coaching freshman football and finishing my credential, I knew it's what I wanted to do.
Then word came down they wanted to build a new Catholic high school in South Orange County. Let's start off with how you even found out that there was going to be this new high school built.
You know, it's kind of a crazy scenario, but I was at Mater Dei. I was coaching there for 4 years. I was asked to start the wrestling program, which I did. And Monsignor Harris at the time really kind of took me under his wings and realized that I had some talent and some rapport with the kids. And when he watched me build the wrestling program, I think he you know, felt that the way I cared about the kids, the way we developed the program, the way we competed and got better, I think he saw something in me that, you know, he really just asked me into his office. I walked in his office and he asked me if I would be interested in being the head coach of this new high school that he was building down in South Orange County. And really had no idea of the magnitude of what kind of school that was going to be. But I got the opportunity. I went and told Coach Gallo at Mater Dei that I wouldn't be coming back next year because of the opportunity, and it was a great move for me, it really kind of set the tone for my career.
We talked with Rich Schaaf a couple of weeks ago, and when we talked with him, he basically said it was the two of you that kind of just set forth building this athletic program. I mean, how do you even build an athletic program from the ground up, literally?
You know, Rich was a lot like me. We both worked at Mater Dei, and he was a basketball football coach, and I was a football wrestling track guy. We're kind of gym rats and young guys that really had not a lot going on other than athletics and the opportunity to be around kids. And so we would always play basketball after football practice. We'd work out. So we kind of took that philosophy when we went to Santa Margarita. We said, hey, you know, we're going to take this class on boys and girls. We're going to do an all sports camp. And so really we kind of took a PE approach where we said, okay, let's play volleyball for a week and get every boy and girl to learn how to play volleyball. And then the next week was a flag football unit and then a basketball unit. And then really from there, we find out who the athletes were. And then we basically recruited them from this, what we called all sports camp, and said, hey, we would like you to play football for us. We'd like you to be our quarterback. We'd like you to be our point guard. We'd like you to go out for track. We'd like you to think about wrestling. And so it was a really unique situation for the kids and for us as coaches, because everybody was all in, fully embraced and saying, you know, we're starting this new school. Why not try volleyball? Why not try football? There wasn't a lot of kids that had a bunch of experience Pop Warner wise. And it really worked out perfect for us.
Inside of a decade, you'd have a powerhouse football program at Santa Margarita with the Eagles. You mentioned winning a championship at Cal State Fullerton. I was there. I covered the game with Newport Harbor, the first CAF title. What was it like to put that team together, that special group, and then see them accomplish what they did?
Well, I mean, the 96, 97 years were obviously magical years for us. We were 13-1. We lost Newport Harbor during the preseason or regular season in league, and then really came back and played a phenomenal game against them to beat them and win our first CAF championship. So that was really, really special. We had a lot of guys coming back the following year, Carson Palmer and John Minardi and others. We did lose a really good running back in Billy Newman, but, you know, we found a way to get another running back who decided to come to our school, who did a great job for us. And we ended up going 14-0 and winning back-to-back CIO championships and actually went to a third championship as well in 98. So it was that was a really, really good run. We were close with our charter class. So we were, I think, 12-1. We lost the semifinals to a really good, I think it was Baldwin Park team. But, I mean, you know, once we won a football championship, I think the school really was put on the map. You know, we were winning cross country. We were doing well in other sports. But a major sport like football to win a championship really felt like the school arrived athletically.
Did you feel a sense of accomplishment at that point? Was there a chance to sit down with Coach Schaaf and kind of look back up and say, hey, look what we've done here, kind of a moment of pride?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, there were times, again, where we were close and you know, our charter class, we were close. And then I remember being so disappointed, and I remember Coach Schaaf saying, hey, you know, until they want it as bad as you, you know, it's probably not going to happen. And I really took those words to heart. And the class that we had in 96, 97 really wanted it. And it was really just kind of managing to make sure we didn't screw it up, particularly in 97 with all the talent that we had. We felt like these kids knew what we needed, what we wanted to win a championship. And Rich and I really took it all in. We still talk about today.
We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View. And when we come back, we'll talk further with the head coach and athletic director at J. Sarah High School, Jim Hartigan. Stay with us.
Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove opens their inaugural concert series with concert organist Peter Richard Conti on Monday, October 10th at 7:30 p.m. The program includes works by Franck, Guimond, Sowerby, and splendid transcriptions by Fritz Kreisler and Conti. Tickets at the door or online at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Also, don't miss Christmas at the Cathedral and the Talis Scholars this season.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We're visiting with Jim Hartigan. He's the head football coach and athletic director at J. Sarah High School down in South Orange County. Coach, where we left off in our last segment, you just won a championship, your first of a couple there at Santa Margarita. At what point did you think, hey, the offers obviously started to come in a little bit. At what point did you identify that Clovis West and completely moving out of the area was the right move for you at that time?
You know, I had an opportunity potentially to take over the Saddleback Junior College program. It was myself and Coach McElroy were finalists, and obviously he ended up taking the job and has done a phenomenal job there with Saddleback. And so I looked at that as an opportunity to maybe coach at another level to see whether or not I was capable of taking over a junior college program. I had some opportunities to go to Cerritos Junior College, decided not to go. I had an opportunity to go to Bishop Gorman. When Bishop Gorman was on its old campus, or the original coach stepped down, and I talked with them about potentially going out there and coaching, and then passed on a lot of those opportunities. I just felt like it wasn't the right fit at the time. But when Clovis West, the opportunity came, it was probably the right time personally for my family and I to kind of take a step back from what we accomplished and try something different, you know, different part of California, a public school, to see whether or not I could coach in a public institution and do as good of a job. And fortunately for us, we took some good coaches with us. Coach Manise was with me at Santa Margarita and some others. We went up there and had a great run. We were in the championship, CF championship 3 of the 4 years we were there. We beat De La Salle twice. We beat De La Salle at De La Salle. We had a great group of kids, a good coaching staff, and more importantly, a phenomenal administration that really supported football and athletics. It was a really good school, and it's still a good school, and I'm glad that I went there. So I enjoyed my time at Clovis West.
Obviously, football is a team sport, and you preach team, but how much fun is it individually to be able to match minds with a legend like Bob Latasseur and be able to beat him on his turf?
You know what? It was great. You know, it was when I first got the job at Clovis West, they forgot to tell me that they scheduled De La Salle. And so I'm like, wow, De La Salle. So I spent the offseason meeting with Mater Dei, meeting with Long Beach Poly, getting as much tape as I could from people that played them and just really spent the summer splitting up tape with my staff and asking them to come back with notes after our break to talk about what they saw. And so we basically all had similar ideas, and we saw some things on tape that we felt like we could maybe take advantage of. And so we put together a phenomenal game plan. We actually flew to Seattle the week before to watch them play. When they got beat by Bellevue, we were hoping that we were going to be the first to break the streak, but we weren't the first to break the California, home streak. And then the year after that, we shut them out, which was hasn't been done in like 30 years. So it was really rewarding for us to know that our coaching staff took on a really great coaching staff at De La Salle and a legend in Bob Lattisor, and just really put our ideas on paper onto the playing field. And our kids executed it beautifully, and it was a great win for us, both of them. And I went back a couple years later to visit De La Salle and pick Bob's brain some more. And he asked me why I was up there, because, we beat him twice and that he should be coming down visiting us. But I have a lot of great respect for him and that program.
Yeah, what they've accomplished over the years, obviously, huge. When did you first hear the name Jay Serra, and what was the thought process? Did it start kind of going through your mind that, hey, maybe this is the next destination for me?
When I was at Clovis West, Servite called, and that was a possibility that Coach Logan and Coach Barnes and myself were all in that triangle of, who's going to be the next Servite coach. That was a job that I was interested in. I had knee surgery, so I wasn't able to come down for the interview, but I did a phone interview. And so that was probably the first thought of maybe going back to Orange County. Golden West was an opportunity as well, Golden West Junior College. And that was something that, I decided that I've come this far in high school, I'm going to probably finish in high school. El Toro High School called me, another good little program down here that. And so I said to my wife, I said, hey, we're starting to get a lot of inquiries. Maybe it's in the cards for us to potentially go back to Orange County. And then Andy Sulik called me. He played for me at Santa Maria on our charter class team. Said, hey, I'd really like you to come down here and take a look at this position, because we'd like to, get this program, competitive in the training league. And so that opportunity came down. I visited with some folks and knew that we'd have our hands full to start with, particularly since they were put in the training league with a brand new school. But I was excited about coming back to Orange County. I was excited to get back on a Catholic high school campus. I was excited to build a program that I felt would be a diamond in the rough here in Orange County.
What were the differences? Were there similarities? But I imagine there were differences in building Santa Margarita at that time and then coming in and having to build a new program with Jay Serra. But you'd done it before, obviously.
Yeah, the experience of building a program obviously was in our favor, but we had the luxury of not being thrown in the training league at Santa Margarita right away. And the training league wasn't what it is now, but it certainly was really good. I think it was the Serra League at the time. But I think we won a couple championships when I left. And I knew how good it was, but it just got even better when they brought some other teams into it. And so the difference was, we knew how to build a program, but we had no players. It was a new school with not a lot of football talent and not really a lot of foundational things in place. And so we had to really put that in place, from weight training to conditioning to hiring a solid coaching staff to getting the proper video equipment, all the things that we needed in-house to compete. So we built the infrastructure of what we thought it would take to win. And then we obviously had to go out and recruit players, and we did some youth camps and we did some clinics, and we started to get some interest in visiting the local feeder schools, particularly Catholic feeder schools. We got some interest. And so we slowly kind of put this thing together. And, hopefully, we've arrived, at least gotten over the hump, and we want to be competitive every year from here on out.
You mentioned the Trinity, and it's obviously the toughest league, at least in the state, if not the nation. This is a Lion program that would regularly win all their non-league games or just about all of them, and then take their lumps in the Trinity. Now you've turned the corner, as you say. Now you're the team, competing with the top programs here. Explain to everybody just how difficult it is to compete with Modern Day and Bosco and Servite and everybody here.
It's extremely difficult, and it continues to get more and more difficult because they're improving. I kept telling our staff and our kids, hey, if we improve, we're going to be fine. I think that since Jay Serra has improved, I think we've forced everyone to improve, and they're already, really good programs. But, when we beat people for the very first time, it kind of is an eye-opener. We beat Olu, and, I'm sure Olu's like, well, wait a minute, well, we just got beat by Jay Serra. Then we beat Servite, and I'm sure Servite's saying, well, wait a minute, how's that happening? And then, we beat Monterey back-to-back years, and We've beaten Santa Margarita. You know, we've come really, really close with Bosco. So I think what it's done is it's pushed everybody to really up their level. As you know, in general, the league now plays an unbelievable preseason because we can't get local games because we have to go out and play with a monster schedule. And so I think by J-Sir coming to the league, I think it helped the league improve. But I also think that the league is – the standards of the league made us step up and put together a program that we felt like at any week we can compete with just about anybody. Certainly we still have a lot of work to do when it comes to numbers and consistency and trying to find ways to ultimately win a training league championship. But that's very, very difficult. You know, we're averaging probably about 2 to 2.5 wins a year. And if you can get 3 in this league, you're pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Modern Day already this year. Really good. I can't wait to see your team as well in the coming weeks. You've worked at all three of the top Catholic high schools, obviously here in Orange County, built up, two of these programs here. How integral has faith been in the building of Santa Margarita and of here at J-Sir as well?
You know, it's obviously, the foundation, the staple of what we do on a daily basis. I mean, obviously working with Catholic families, Catholic school kids, they're a special group of kids that put in the time, with their faith, put in the time academically, put in the time athletically. And so obviously, with our faith formation, our intellect formation, and our character, football is a big part of that, particularly the character part of it. And we've produced some really, really good kids that have gone on to Ivy League schools and some other schools that are really, really hard to get into because of their commitment, not only with their faith, but their academics and their athletics. And so the traditions of doing the Grotto after the game, we do here just like we did at Modern Day and Santa Margarita, mass before games, big tradition. I mean, that's probably for me the most special time preparing for a game that I'm able to sit in a chapel with our team for, half hour to 45 minutes and just focus on what's really important. And I think our kids appreciate that. And it's probably the one thing I missed the most when I was at Clovis West, the fact that we weren't going to mass before games and the Grotto and just the commitment of these kids that, that are going to retreats, that are leaders on our campus spiritually. And they look up to other students, look up to our kids, not just as football players, but they are spiritual leaders on our campus. And they've done a great job of setting an example and provided leadership for maybe new freshmen that come in and really don't understand what J-Sir is all about. And so I'm really proud of our kids that they've embraced this fully. And it's a great school that really embraces the Catholic identity. And it's what we do every day. It's our priority.
There were some rumors after a little bit of the upheaval at Santa Margarita that maybe you would be the guy to take over that program again. But you did sign a contract extension here at J-Sir. How gratifying is that to know that, you're still going to stay here at J-Sir and continue on with what you built here?
You know, it's really gratifying. I have a son who's a junior who plays for us. Certainly, I want to see him graduate from here. My daughter just graduated from here and is now at TCU. I have a freshman son who also plays football that will graduate on the last year of my contract. And I have another son who's a fifth grader. So hopefully, I do my due diligence and put together a great football program and do a good job for the school. And then hopefully when we come to re-signing my contract, 3 years from now, I have an opportunity to re-sign and hopefully get my young son through as well.
Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Good luck the rest of the season. We look forward to seeing what the Lions can do in this obviously tough Trinity League.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us for more Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove opens their inaugural concert series with concert organist Peter Richard Conti on Monday, October 10th at 7:30 p.m. The program includes works by Franck, Guimond, Sowerby, and splendid transcriptions by Fritz Kreisler and Conti. Tickets at the door or online at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Also, don't miss Christmas at the Cathedral and the Talis Scholars this season.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And joining us right now is the head golf coach at Rosary Academy, and that's Steve Hiskey. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
What attracted you, first of all, to this job here at Rosary? You spent a lot of years at Bray Olinda High School. People who know the sporting community here in Orange County know you as the longtime baseball coach and athletic director at Brea. But at some point, you decided to become a golf coach here at an all-girls school. How did all that fall into place?
Actually, I started coaching girls golf at Bray Olinda when the program started there, looking for a new challenge at that point. I think girls golf started at Bray like 02, and I was still coaching there when I first was retired in 09. So I was pretty much passing Rosary every day, and the job opened, and I figured, you know what, I still have a few good years left in me, and probably the attraction was Rosary is very similar to where I went to high school. I went to Daniel Murphy in Los Angeles, which obviously all boys, but pretty much the same student population, very small, kind of everybody knows everybody. I wasn't able to go back and coach at my old high school. I figured this would be pretty close to that. So pretty much why.
What kind of program did you inherit when you showed up here on campus?
We actually had lost a couple of our players. One of them decided not to play, and another player had transferred. So the first couple of years were a little rough. We kept getting better. Obviously, Caroline was a big part of that. And we had another player who actually I got to see play, hit her first college golf shot today, Gwen Bates. So slowly but surely, I mean, that's the thing about golf. It's pretty hard to make a complete about face, unless, of course, you get four or five players all at the same time, which that doesn't usually happen.
You obviously know how to build a championship golf team. You won three league titles with the Lady Cats at Brea. Was there sort of a thought process of how you were going to build, what needed to be done here?
Not really.
Did you recruit at all? Were you going in and out of classrooms trying to find girls that wanted to play?
No, we didn't do that. I mean, pretty much we haven't gone out and actively recruited players. I mean, pretty much the ones that have come here, our best ambassadors are the players that we have. So our sophomore that's here this year, I think she pretty much was influenced by some of the other players that, because obviously they all go and play tournaments together, so they're chatting about where they go when they've shadowed here. Caroline is again a great ambassador, so is Chase Gomez. Gwen Bates was. I think that's where the influence comes from. So just like Caroline said, coaching staff's a lot of the change overnight, but the players are the ones who really are the ones that buy into things. So that's pretty much the way things have happened here.
Baseball coaching is a lot of strategy. Coaching, in-game strategy, that kind of stuff. Is there similarities in golf, or is it really, you do the coaching during the week and it's all hands off once it comes time to play the match?
I think there's actually some stuff that goes on, maybe not so much during the match, but leading up to matches, or at least leading up to the season. Because you can set your lineup however you want, and that's what I've always tried to do is match our players up with other players on the team that they get the best out of each other, so to speak. They're very compatible on the course, and that seems to be the best for us, the way things work. You're right, probably during matches there isn't a whole lot of strategy, although, they've kind of loosened the rules on what we can and can't do, so you sort of have to know who you want to talk to and who you just let play.
Obviously, the coaching juices, didn't leave even after all the years, 29 years, I think, coaching baseball over at Brea. What led you to decide that it was time to turn in your spikes in the first place?
It was probably just time, although I think I took off about 5 years. But then once I retired, I went down to Costa Mesa to coach with somebody who had coached with me at Brea for a couple of years. And then one of my former players got the head position at Estancia, so I helped him for 4 years. So, and then I actually went back to Linwood, where I started in 1970. I kind of wanted to complete the circle, so that was what I did last year. So obviously pretty hard to just totally give it up. I think I've had my fill now, though.
It's still a lot of fun, though. Still fun to come out and work with kids and try to help them improve themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I learned this at Brea when I started doing the girls. It's you kind of feed off their energy. They're very energetic. They're very, just total energy. They really do an excellent job of keeping track of each other. And, you know, every day you're kind of waiting to hear what they're going to come up with and what you have to deal with. But pretty much the girls' golf has been they're a lot of fun.
Rosary, you know, is a Catholic school. How much of what you're doing, what you're teaching, what you're trying to instill in the girls is based on, you know, the faith that is shared in this community?
I would say the big thing about golf, you know, and we had this talk a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember or I can't think of another sport that there's no officiating. You have to, it's your integrity, it's your ethics and morals that you have to live by out there. You know, nobody's really watching. There's no officiating. So I think that fits right into the Catholic lifestyle. I mean, that's what we are expected to do on a daily basis is, you know, do things the right way. And golf epitomizes that. You know, like I said, there's nobody officiating. There's no rules official. If things come up, usually they try to, most of the time they have to try to solve the rules issues if there's not a coach around. But, you know, and there's always things. This actually came up in one of our matches. One of our freshmen actually was playing with a novice golfer who had teed up in front of the markers. And before she hit the ball, she told her, you know, you might want to move your ball back. So, I mean, that's kind of your Christian morals and ethics right there at work.
Last couple of moments here visiting with Steve Hiskey, the head girls golf coach at Rosary Academy. Coach, what do you see in your future? I mean, obviously, this is a good group to work with now, and we're going to visit with Caroline in just a couple of minutes in our next segment. But as long as you have that kind of caliber of golfer here, is this something you want to keep doing for a while?
It's possible. I don't really look too far down the future. I mean, the one thing about golf is that's way different than some other sports. Coaching baseball, you have to rake the mound, you have to drag the infield, you've got so many other things where this is it's not a lot of work as far as physical work like some other coaching positions. So, I mean, you can last a lot longer, obviously. And I have a good time. I have fun. Every group that I've had here at Rosary has been a real fun group to be with. So,
Caroline is a special golfer. She's already started off this season, with a flourish. What is her ceiling? How good can she be?
I think the sky's the limit for her. She's gotten her game so much better physically. I would say even her mental game and how she handles herself and how she carries herself is totally different than the way she was when she first came here. Her game has matured. At the state qualifier last year, she played impeccable golf, basically. She had a couple of bad breaks, a couple of putts that lipped out. Otherwise, she would have gone to state last year. So she's very even-keeled on the course. I know she's going to be a solid player in college, too. No doubt about it.
We're going to visit with Caroline in just a minute, just after our break. Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Good luck, and we'll keep an eye on the Royals in this upcoming season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove opens their inaugural concert series with concert organist Peter Richard Conti on Monday, October 10th at 7:30 p.m. The program includes works by Franck, Guimond, Sowerby, and splendid transcriptions by Fritz Kreisler and Conti. Tickets at the door or online at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Also, don't miss Christmas at the Cathedral and the Talis Scholars this season.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange. Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com. The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
A beacon of light on the journey to unite with the divine nature of God. A sanctuary for the Catholic faithful and a landmark known throughout the world for its dazzling beauty. Christ Cathedral in Orange County is many things, and now it is rising anew. But the Diocese of Orange needs your help to restore and transform Christ Cathedral into a space where the Word of the Lord can be proclaimed. Through the Heavenly Lights campaign, donors have the opportunity to support Christ Cathedral by purchasing a virtual panel of glass on the cathedral's facade as a gift in honor of a loved one or important event. The light you dedicate will shine for generations to come through a one-of-a-kind virtual experience at ChristCathedralCalifornia.com. And your support will ensure that Christ Cathedral continues to light the way for the community at large. Learn more about Heavenly Lights and purchase your virtual gift today at ChristCathedralCalifornia.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And as I mentioned, we're visiting now with Caroline Cantlay, and she is a senior at Rosary High School. Thanks for joining us, Caroline.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Talk about your beginnings of your golf career. Obviously, you're in a golf family, as we kind of talked about in our open. So did it just come naturally to start playing golf?
Well, actually, since I was little, golf's always been around my family. My whole family plays. But I didn't start playing golf seriously until I was about 13 or 14. So I kind of came to it on my own. I didn't really like it before that. But my parents just kind of let me do whatever I wanted. I played a lot of other sports and then found my way there. So I like it.
Obviously, you have older brothers who play golf, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. But did it help you that you had, you know, brothers? Did that push you a little bit more once you did finally commit to the game?
Definitely, yeah. They have a big influence on me. I've always looked up to both of them, and they're great players, so it pushed me to do a lot better.
How about your parents? Do they play?
My dad played. He was a pretty good amateur golfer, and my mom used to play when she was little, but not so much anymore.
So what was your learning curve, getting into the game? Did it come natural to you, or was it something you really had to work at to get to the point where you're at now?
Well, I have been playing, like swinging the golf club and everything since I can remember. So the swing and everything came pretty naturally, but obviously a lot of hard work goes into anything if you want to be good at anything. So I definitely had to put in a lot of time. I wouldn't say it came easy or anything.
How about during your high school career? How do you feel like your game has progressed in the 4 years you've been here at Rosary?
My game has gotten a lot better. I think my coaches and my parents will both agree. When I was a freshman, I can remember in CIF, I shot like a 101 or something during qualifying. And then 2 years later, I was almost winning a league and qualifying almost to go to state. So I've definitely gotten a lot better and worked extremely hard to get where I am.
What's made the difference? Is it just the physical maturity that just takes over 4 years? We know golf's such a mental game. You know, how much of it was physical versus mental that, you know, helped you get better?
I think a lot of it was just working really hard. I hadn't been playing very often before I got to high school, and so I had to work a lot on my skills and the different aspects of my game. But mental side definitely had a part to do with it. There was kind of a learning curve that came with it, not to get mad after different shots and everything. So definitely my parents and my coaches helped me to figure that out.
Watching your brother Patrick, and everything that he's accomplished in his career, how much were you able to pick his brain maybe over the years and kind of take some of the knowledge that obviously he's used to craft what is now a PGA Tour career?
Yeah, he's a really big inspiration to me. He's probably one of the big reasons that I started playing, just seeing all the cool things that I got to do. And he's a really big supporter. He comes out and when we're practicing and everything and helps me learn different shots and figure out different things on the course. So I know I always have him as a resource to go to and for help or anything if I need anything.
Your other brother Nick is at Long Beach State, correct?
Yeah, he's at Long Beach. He's redshirting this year. He'll be a senior next year.
Okay, so you've got golfers all around you to call for help or advice. You really do lean on those guys, right?
Of course, yeah. They're great older brothers. I couldn't imagine my life without them. I play with my brother Nick probably a couple times a month, and Patrick is always out there helping me practice and everything, and he's one of the big reasons I think that I'm the player that I am today. So they're both huge inspirations to me, and I couldn't be where I am without them.
How much the decision to come to Rosary, what has the school done for you in the athletic venue? Obviously, being in the Trinity League is a big deal. We know some of the top athletes are in this league. Was it a conscious decision to come play golf here?
You know, when I was picking schools, high schools, and even when I was making my decision for college, my parents told me to not worry about really the golf program or the athletics that was going on. They wanted me to find a place that was comfortable for me, and they said, leave the school colors and everything out of it. Just pick where you feel best. And I think that was probably some of the best advice that they ever gave me, because, you know, you never know when a program's going to change. You never know when a coach is going to leave or what's going to happen. And they really just told me to find a place where I'm comfortable, and Rosary is probably the best example of that because it's such an amazing place with such great people.
Golf's a funny game in some ways because you can have several coaches, along the way that will help you or even tinker, with your game. Coach Hiskey has come on board here at Rosary, recently. What has he been able to do? What have you gained out of his knowledge?
I love Coach Hiskey. He's great, and he's been here over my 4 years since I've been here, and he is a really big supporter. Everything that I do, doesn't matter if I go out and shoot 100 or go out and shoot like 65, it doesn't matter to him. He obviously wants me to do really well, but he will always think of me. I think I'd like to think that he thinks of me as a person, depending on my character, not as me as a golfer. And I think that's a really good thing to have in a coach, because that you don't have to impress him obviously I want to impress him, but you don't have to try to be a different person or a really good athlete just to get on his good side. He's like always there for you no matter what, and that's one of the greatest things about having him as a coach.
Rosary is, of course, a Catholic community here in Orange County. How much does faith play a role in your game and in what you do in your day-to-day life?
I grew up going to Catholic school, and both my parents are Catholic, and so that's obviously a big thing in my life. I think a really good faith in my schooling, and everything has really helped. And I think without my faith, I wouldn't be the person that I am today, including playing golf. I think it's all led me in the right direction with the motivation that I have and the type of dedication that I have to the game. So,
what are you working on this year? What are parts of your game that you really wanted to get going? Because obviously your senior year and you've got a chance to make it a really special year.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this year. Just kind of trying to improve everything. You can always get better everywhere, but short game's a really big impact on everything. You can't play well if you don't score well, and so that's obviously a big thing to work on.
We talked about Santa Margarita, Mater Dei. have been the two top programs, I think, in the Trinity League for several years. Golf is an individual sport, but also a team sport, as we know in the high school and the college level. How much do you take on the leadership role and now as especially a senior in trying to help the younger girls that are especially now coming up?
I'm a captain this year. I'm solo captain. I'm the only senior on the team, so kind of had to fill a big leadership role. There's always been multiple seniors on the team, so a lot of people to look up to. But, my coach told me at the beginning of summer when we were bringing in two freshmen, we have a pretty young team, and he was told me, just try to take them under your wing, make them feel comfortable, help them along, show them the ropes. They're kind of new to golf, and so they're learning all the different things that golf has to offer and how hard you have to work at it. So I just try to be a resource for them if they need anything, as a friend or at school, or if they need some help with anything, I'm always there for them. I think they know that, and I love them to death. I'm really happy that they came to Rosary and that I get to know them.
The Cantlay name, of course, has become really big in past, a couple of years in golf circles. Were colleges actively coming to find you and talk to you and want you to come join their program?
Yeah, I had some really nice coaches come out and recruit me and everything, and I had a really great recruiting process, and ultimately I decided that Cal Poly SLO was the best place for me, so I verbally committed there at the beginning of summer, so I'm really excited to get there and see what happens.
What was it about Cal Poly that attracted you?
It's a great campus. I love it up there, and just everybody's up there is so nice, and the coach was so welcoming and so nice when I came up there. It just fit perfectly.
How do you see golf fitting into your life in the future, in college and beyond?
I think golf will always be a big part of my life. Obviously, it's all around my family, so I can't really avoid it. But I do love it, and so just try to get as good as I can be and see where it goes from there.
Caroline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Catholic Sports View, exploring where athletics meets faith here on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Bob Gibson. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove opens their inaugural concert series with concert organist Peter Richard Conti on Monday, October 10th at 7:30 p.m. The program includes works by Franck, Guimond, Sowerby, and splendid transcriptions by Fritz Kreisler and Conti. Tickets at the door or online at ChristCathedralMusic.org. Also, don't miss Christmas at the Cathedral and the Talis Scholars this season.
Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.